Man, I'm glad there's a remedy for every sin-sick soul. And Jesus Christ is the remedy. Amen. All right, if you win your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalm 37. Book of Psalm, and look at Psalms 37. We're going to revisit this particular psalm we preached on a couple of years ago when our theme was doing good, if you remember that. But we'll notice in this particular verse, and I'm going to cover more ground on this particular message than I did last time, in this particular psalm about trusting the Lord. And so basically this morning, the theme along we've been preaching the last several weeks is trust the Lord, or trust God, and this will happen. If I can remember the verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and don't lean on your understanding, and He will direct you. We preached on last Sunday on the fear of man is a snare, but those who trust in the Lord shall be safe. And so as we think about that, we think about those who put their trust in the Lord, God is going to keep you safe. This morning we want to speak about those who trust in the Lord will have rest. Those who trust in the Lord shall have rest. I'm glad for the rest that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Both physically, many times, but more importantly, spiritually, I have that rest that only comes from the Lord. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth the wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I do pray this morning that your truth would come across very clearly, and we would see again the wonderful blessings that come from trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. We find in verse 25 of this same chapter where David, this is King David writing, he says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David, the king of Israel, is writing in his old age. He's writing about the past and what has happened. He's recognizing what has happened to him and how God has dealt in his life. This is really in contrast to the way you see Solomon, which is David's son. When you see Solomon writing about his past, and he says all his vanity, all his vexation of spirit. And it's really a contrast between the two, between the father and the son. You see the dad writing back or writing about the past in lieu of how God has taken care of him. It's amazing how David looks back at the past and see how that trusting in the Lord will bring blessing. Trusting in the Lord will bring just the care and the rest that can only come from God. So it really is two visible, two very clearly distinct differences between the way Solomon kind of looked back upon his life and the way that David looked back upon his life. David here is dealing with the problem of why the wicked prosper and the godly suffer. Remember now, David had access to the story of Job. Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and no doubt David had access to this particular story of Job, the historical account of Job. And you can just see as David is writing about the wicked and how the wicked prosper and they'll be cut off, you can just see him looking back at the story and the account of Job and how Job lost everything. That Job was the righteous man, and Job was a just man, and he was the richest man in the East, and he prospered because God blessed him. And Satan came to God one day and says, Job, your servant, only prospers because you protect him. And God removed the hedge of protection off of Job and allowed Satan to buffet Job. And Job lost his 10 children. They died. Job lost all of his wealth, all gone in just a matter of hours. Everything, lost everything. Job's own wife came to him and said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" Job, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord." He said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible says in all this, Job sinned not. Man, Job was a mighty man of faith, wasn't he? Why? Because he trusted the Lord. See, Job did not see the scene in heaven. Job had no idea that Satan had come to God, and God had bragged on Job, and Job said, "Hey, you're bragging on him, but you're the one protecting him." And when God removed that hedge of protection, Job didn't know that happened. He had no clue. And yet we see over and over and over again how Job put his trust in God. And though by the end of the account of Job, we find that his three friends, you can read about them, beat him down. And finally Job did begin to question his Creator. And God stepped out on the earth and showed Job the great creation that He had created. And He reminded Job, "If I can send the thunder, if I can send the rain, if I can control Behemoth, if I can control the Leviathan, if I have control of all things and I made all things, surely I could take care of you, Job." It's pretty as simple as that. Job, David referring here to why the wicked prosper and the godly suffer. And again, the answer is found in verse 1 and 2. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." Soon, and the rain came. I'm so thankful for the rain. Amen. Soon, the sun will come out. Soon, it will get warmer, I think. And soon, the grass will turn green. The weeds are already turning green. Soon, they'll grow up. It'll be green for a little while, but in this Texas sun, it won't take long. It'll dry up, and it'll wither away. And David just simply says, "Hey, sure, the wicked prosper, but just for a little while. They'll soon be cut off." Sometimes we get the idea, we look at our neighbor, or we look at a friend, or we look at a coworker, or whatever it may be, and we say, "Well, they're not living a righteous life. They're not living a godly life. They're not serving the Lord, and yet they're prospering." Just realize that they'll soon be cut off. "Well, I run my business honestly, and I deal with people honestly, but I know this man, he runs his business dishonestly, and he's a crook, and he does, and yet his business is prospering, and my business struggles. Preacher, why is that the case?" So can I just remind you that soon the wicked will be cut off? They prosper for a little while. By the way, the Bible says you reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. I could say it like that. Psalm 37, if you look at the very end of this chapter, in verse 40, the Bible, David says, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him." Yeah, the wicked have their day. But God will deliver you. God will deliver me if we just simply trust in Him. Trust in Him. As David is looking back, possibly thinking about the account of Job, but more importantly, I believe in this particular psalm, he's thinking about his own life. He's thinking about his own life and how the wicked prospered. I can just imagine as he's thinking about in his life how Samuel, that great prophet, came to his house and how Samuel anointed him as a teenager, king of Israel. And yet from that time forward, almost from that time forward, David began to flee for his life from Saul, who was trying to kill him. King Saul, who was the ruler of Israel, trying to kill David, who was the future ruler of Israel, had been anointed king by the great prophet Samuel. You imagine as David fled from the evil, wicked King Saul, if you would, and over again was hunted down by King Saul. And yet, we find here in Psalm 37 that David is sitting on the throne of the kingdom. So as he looks back, he can see, because now he can see what had happened. He can see how he was anointed king. He can see how he was endangered and fled from Saul. But then he can see how God blessed him. Why did God bless David? Why did God bring those things to pass? Because David trusted God. David trusted in the Lord. See, David was promised the kingdom of God. By the way, we're promised the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward one day to the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first and we which are alive remain will be caught up to be with Him in the air and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to the kingdom. Amen. I'm looking forward to the eternal rest. But David was seemingly forsaken on various occasions. And I know sometimes we feel the same way. We feel like God has forsaken us. We feel like everything is going against us. But take care. Trust in the Lord and thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and thou shalt dwell in the land. In the end, David sat upon the throne of his enemy. In the end, you'll sit upon the throne as well. I'm not talking about the throne per se of God. I'm talking about they will be cut off and you will be blessed. King David, in his old age, writing back, thinking upon that wonderful principle of trusting in the Lord. Can I just say, number one, we ought to trust in the Lord for salvation. For salvation. Listen to me this morning. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Mankind, all of us understand that one day we will physically die. We're all headed that direction. Right? I noticed this morning as I was looking in the mirror and I wet my hair and began to put the mousse on it because I like that greasy look, you know? No, I don't. Just kidding. I noticed that I'm going bald in the back, but I noticed in the front on this side right about there that is, if you look, you can see through the hair. It's like it's creeping from the back forward. It's one day going to overtake it. And then I'll be like Brother Lotta, my assistant. Oh, that's another story. So Brother Lotta works at this place. I'm going to sidetrack. Y'all ready for a story? Sidetrack. So Brother Lotta, that's what they called him at Crown. Brother Lotta was in school for 4 years there, was on staff for four more, right? 8 years. And there's still half the staff there that called him Brother Lotta. So I'm pretty sure you didn't really work there. So all week, when the teenagers and I started calling him Brother Lotta, and then one of the staff members called him my assistant. That was funny too. That was a lot of fun. So now it's my assistant, Brother Lotta. Brother Lotta. But anyway, my hair is creeping forward. You know, my bald spot is getting bigger. It's appointed unto man once to die. As I look back, I can see my death coming. No, I'm just kidding. I can see the age happening. I mean, I'm aging. I turned 40. It's all over, right? But it's appointed. Yeah, Brother Kurt, you know. I understand. But we all are headed that way. It's coming. My brother's 44. My dad's fixing to turn 65. I think about, and seriously, you think about, you know, time rages on. Time goes forward. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Death is inevitable. It will happen. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am so glad today, and glad is kind of my special word for today. I am glad today that salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'll put my trust in Him, that I can have eternal life, that I can escape hell, the wrath of God upon sin, and that I can have a home in heaven for all eternity, that my sins can be forgiven, past, present, and future, and I can have rest, eternal rest. Listen, if there's not been a day that you can't look back and see a day that you trusted in Christ as your Savior, I pray today would be the day. I beg you today. If there's no rest in your soul, won't you come today and find rest? Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ by believing and trusting in Him that He lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. And that He died, that the Romans and the Jews didn't put Him on that cross. Jesus said, I lay my life down. No man takes my life, but I lay it down. And Jesus laid himself down on that cross, and the Roman soldiers nailed him there, and they placed him and put him down in that hole, that cross down that hole. And there Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary. There he shed his blood on that cross. There he died. He said, "It is finished," and he died for my sins. They placed him in a tomb. And for 3 days he lay there in that tomb. But on the third day, bless the Lord, he rose again from the dead. Having paid for our sins in full, having no sins of his own, he rose again. And those who place their trust in him may have eternal life. Salvation is found in trusting the Lord. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time because last sermon we did on that term do good in verse 3. But trusting in the Lord and do good. We see there is two terms here and two commands, if you would. And the results of trusting in Jesus is a faith that is active. The results of trusting in the Lord, the results of trusting Christ by faith is an active obedience. In other words, as we place our faith and trust in the Lord and He alone, then we will actively obey Him. There will be practical results from that. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, the Bible says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The Bible says, when I got saved, I became a partaker of the divine nature of God. In other words, when I got saved, I received a different want to. I received a want to do right. I received a want to do good. Paul explained that in Romans chapter 7, where he said, "The things I want to do, those are the things I don't do. And those are the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I do." He said, there's a struggle within me. There's a war within my members. And that's what I have going on today. I want to do right, but my old nature sometimes pulls me the wrong way, and then my new nature pulls me back. It's like a big tug of war within my soul. And I pray, and I seek the Lord's face every morning. I wake up every morning, and I pray, "Lord, help me to live in the Spirit and not the flesh today. Lord, help me to live in light of eternity today. God, help me to live for you today. I want to live. I want to do right. I want to please my Lord and Savior. I want to please my Heavenly Father just as I did. And I do want to please my earthly Father. I want to please my Heavenly Father." Trust in the Lord and do good. The results of trusting the Lord is a life of doing good. And the Bible says there, "And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed." If we turn over to Hebrews chapter 4, and I do want to do that real quick. I know it's kind of a hard particular book of the Bible to find, but go over to Hebrews chapter 4, and here we see Paul. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Paul explaining rest to us. So shalt thou, the Bible says, "And shalt thou dwell in the land." So shalt thou dwell in the land. What land is he talking about? Here he would be comparing the land as to the land of Canaan, the promised land. "And verily shalt thou be fed." Paul uses again the same illustration in Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. Oh, let's look back. This is a wonderful. Look at verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Talking about the unsaved, those who didn't believe. "For we have believed, do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." All right, so he's talking to saved people. "Seeing therefore," verse 6, "seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Talking about the Jew. "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day." Look at verse 9. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." So Paul is reaching back to the Old Testament story. He's talking about the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So that God delivers them. Moses brings them out of Egypt. They come to the river Jordan there. And they're supposed to cross over and enter into the land of promise. The land that was promised to Abraham. The land that was promised to Isaac. The land that was promised to Jacob. This land of promise. But because of their unbelief, they did not enter into the land that God had promised them. The promised land, the land of Canaan. They did not enter into the land of, and it refers to it, the land of rest. It's making the comparison that Christians many times do not enter into the land of rest. We instead wander in the wilderness, discontent because of our unbelief. But he goes on to say in verse 9, there is a rest for God's people. Can I remind you today that if you'll put your trust in the Lord and do good, that God will give you rest? And I'm going to explain. I think the rest of the chapter helps us understand what this rest is. So let's look at that real quick. It says there, delight thyself, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of the heart. So number one, we need to delight in the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think there's no doubt that the New Testament inquires of us over and over again, and the Old, that we should put the Lord first in our lives. In our priorities of life, God should be first, without a doubt. But not only should He be first, but we should delight in Him. And we're preaching this on Wednesday nights right now, that as the heart, as the deer panteth after the water brook, David said, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. David had a genuine desire to know God more. David had a delight for the things of God. A delight for the Lord. And this morning, we need to delight in the Lord. And if we delight in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. Now, I love when Brother House came and he preached on this verse, and he talks about how that God will give you the desires of your heart. But can I prerequisite by saying that if we'll delight in the Lord, that our desires will line up with His desires? That's what the verse is saying. As we put God first, as we put God first in our families and in our life, whether it be at work, in school, or whatever it is, and we put God first in the mornings as we have our devotional time, we put God first on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and revival meetings and stewardship conferences, and we put God first in front of everything else, and we delight in Him, He'll give us the desires of our hearts, because our desires will line up with His desires. Number two, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And that judgment there talks about vindication. It means that as we commit, and that word commit there means to roll it over onto the Lord. As we roll our lives over to Him, as we put our trust as far as it's concerning our lives and our way and our directions in life, as we submit to Him and roll those burdens over to Him, that He will vindicate us. Think about this for a moment. If we're to have rest, then we have to be free from carnal desires. And I'm not talking about necessarily immorality here. I'm talking about desires that fuel discontentment in our lives. Paul said that whatever state there I am, therewith to be content. I'm kind of back on verse 4 again. Think about this for a moment. If we're to have rest, then our desires need to match up with God's desires. Keep going here. If we're to have rest, if we're to have tranquility in our life, with all that's going on in the world today, again, David's looking back in his life and seeing the suffering that he went through. He no doubt is thinking about the life of Job. He reaches back and thinks about the children of Israel and their discontentment and their unbelief and not going into the promised land. Listen, our desires need to be curtailed. And they're curtailed by delighting in the Lord. Many times we don't have peace because we are not content. Our desires are just way out of control. It's the bigger house. It's the bigger car. It's keeping up with the Joneses. Y'all have heard it all from this pulpit before. But it doesn't make any less true. There is There are many, many Christians who do not have rest and tranquility because their desires are just way out of control. And number two, think about this for a moment. Commit thyself, or commit, look at what it says there, commit thy way unto the Lord. Many times we don't have rest and we don't have tranquility in life because we are not committing our lives to the Lord. We're not yielding our lives to Him and to His direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what? He shall direct thy paths. You want to have rest? Then allow the Lord to direct your paths. Commit thy ways unto Him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that no matter whether it's a big thing in your life, a big decision in your life, or a small decision in your life, that you should go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what decision do you want me to make? I heard a wonderful illustration. Some of you will understand this, maybe all of you, that the reefs in the ocean, you know, the reefs in the ocean are built by little living organisms, little bitty ones, most of them, little bitty. And they make it, they go there and they pile on top of each other, and many of them die. Some of them live in that coral reef, but it begins to, these little bitty animals all accumulate together. And they create this huge coral reef. And though one of those little animals can't defy the ocean currents and can't defy the ocean waves, all of them together, built together, can. And can I tell you that, listen, when you're making decisions, you got to seek the Lord's face on the small decisions. And as you continually go to God with the small decisions and you continually trust in Him on the small decisions and you commit your ways unto Him in the small decisions and you seek for His direction in the small things, those small things begin to build up. And all of a sudden when that emergency comes in your life and that day in which Satan begins to buffet you and the hedge of thorns maybe is taken off and there is a huge decision to make in your life, because you've made the small decisions and because you depended upon God in the small decisions, the big decisions are easier to go to Him and to acknowledge Him and to trust Him for and to get His guidance for. Amen? It's easier to go to Him in the big ones when you've relied on Him with the small things. Too many times we never rely on Him in the small things and we only use Him as a 911 call, and then we wonder why He doesn't answer. Now, many times He does answer, even in those times. I'm glad we serve a God who loves us no matter what. But sometimes the ceiling feels like brass because you haven't trusted Him in the small things. Delight thyself in the Lord. Put Him first, and He'll give the desires of your heart. Commit thy ways unto Him. Trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Lastly, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord. There is a progression found here, and that is trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy ways unto Him. And then when it all comes to the end, rest in Him. Wait patiently for Him. That's the hard part, isn't it? God is never late, He's never early. God is always right on time. I know sometimes I try my very best to be on time, and you know, every appointment I make, and I'd say about half the time it works and half the time it doesn't. But God is never late. He's never early. He's always on time. And no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what trial or whatever testing may come in your life, no matter the struggle that you're going through, and maybe you are looking at the world and saying, you know, they have it better than I have it, and God, why is this happening to me? Can I just remind you that you need to trust Him? And sometimes it is a matter of just doing good. You know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And sometimes we lay around. When we get discouraged, hello? We lay around, all we do is think about it. Maybe we need to, you know, bake a cake for the pastor or something. Do something good. Do something good. Get out. Go mow your neighbor's yard when the spring gets here. Do something good. Tell someone about Jesus. Do something good. Deliver a cake to somebody. Deliver a pie to your neighbor. Do something good. You know, don't allow the devil to get you discouraged. Trust in the Lord and do good. What does it say there? Thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if we trust in Him and we do good, then we shall dwell, we shall have rest, and God will bless us. He'll feed us. You say, well, what? I don't understand. What do I do to get the rest? Delight in Him. Delight in Him. And the progression is, as we delight in Him, we'll commit our ways to Him because we love Him. I know we do this a lot, but it's the greatest illustration in the Bible. And how God relates to us is the same way in which we relate to our earthly parents. I love my dad, my earthly dad. I love him. I delight in him. I do. I long for and I look forward to calls from him. I'm so glad that I can still call him. I know some of you, your parents have gone on to be the Lord. You don't have that privilege. But remember how it felt. How it felt to please your dad or your mom. And as we delight in them and we commit our ways to them, in other words, we go to them for wisdom and direction, God blesses that. As we delight in God, as we put Him first, as we seek Him first in our lives, and we commit ourselves to Him, we roll those burdens over, whether it's the burden of health or the burden of trust or the burden of disease, whether it's the burden of finances, whether it's the burden of job or whether it's the burden of family, friend, a relationship of some sort in your life, when you roll those burdens over Him and you commit your ways to Him, then He gives you rest as you wait patiently. Patience is the hard one. We live in a microwave society today. You put the chimichanga. By the way, Sam's has some good chimichangas now. It's a box for $9. It has 18 chimichangas in it. Chicken or steak. That makes them about 80, 90 cents a piece if you're trying to feed kids. I do all that in my head. Put them in there for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, warm them babies up. Oh, man. They are great. We live in a microwave society. We put it in the microwave. We punch the button. We expect it to be warm. Right? We live in a society where we want results now. I mean, you turn the computer on, you punch the button, you want it to come up. If it doesn't, you go to Best Buy, you buy a new one, a faster one. You get new IT guys to fix it. Right? I know we're laughing, but that's the way we live today. We expect everything to happen now. I mean, we have washing machines and we have microwaves and we have calculators and we have cell phones. I mean, it's just now, boom, boom, boom. And it's hard for us to wait patiently for anything. I cannot stand lines. I cannot stand it. One of the reasons why I don't go to Six Flags anymore, because I can't stand to stand in a line, it bugs me. If I drive up to Chili's and there's a 30-minute wait, 99% of the time, I'm leaving. I'm not waiting 30 minutes to eat. I'm not waiting 20 minutes to eat. I'm not waiting 10 minutes to eat. I want to eat now. So I'll go find some place that doesn't have a line, which sometimes can be difficult. Many times that means to go home. We want everything right now. If I am to have rest and tranquility in my life, and the Bible says, Hebrews says, chapter 4, verse 9, that God has a rest for His people. He's talking about saved people. Can you realize this morning, listen this morning, you can have rest and tranquility in your life. You can have peace in your life if you'll trust in the Lord. If you'll do good. If you'll delight in Him. If you'll commit your ways to Him. And then just wait patiently for Him. Rest in Him. Knowing that He has everything under control. He has everything under control. He's God. He's the God of all things. He's the God of the universe. Just put your place and trust in Him. Delight in Him, commit to Him, rest in Him. and you'll have rest and tranquility. As we think about Luke chapter 5, Peter asked there on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep. And Peter says to the Lord, "We've toiled all night and caught nothing, Lord. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net." And what happened? They brought up a great draught of fishes. As we trust in the Lord, God blesses. As we trust the Lord, He gives us rest. There is a rest for God's people. As a Christian this morning, if you're here, you're a child of God. Are you experiencing rest in your own life? If you're not, then you need to come to the altar this morning and maybe roll some things over to Him. Roll those burdens over to Him. Commit thy ways unto Him in order to find that rest that you want and desire. I don't know about you, but I want and desire rest. I desire the blessings of God as well. We trust in Him, He'll bless us. Let's all stand. Hymn 337. Think about that song. As we walk with the Lord in the light of His ways. It's a great song. Think about the words of this old hymn as we sing here in just a moment after we pray. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You, God, that You have not left us comfortless, but You have given us a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is there to lead, guide, and direct us into Your rest. And I pray this morning that we as Christians would rely and commit our ways to You, that we put You first, that we trust in You, that we would do good, and God, that we wait patiently for You. Lord, help us to realize that You are in complete control. Lord, as we trust in You, we recognize and understand that David said that You'd bless us. Again, we pray for Your faith. We pray for Your help as we put our faith and trust in You. In Jesus' name.